Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Soccer matters.
Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, thank you, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, for being the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Also, this special edition World Cup coverage, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they will handle your case. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, maybe you work in a refinery, maybe you drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm is going to handle your case. They'll work for you 24-7. Call them, 713-322-HURT. It's pretty easy to remember. They're bilingual, 713-322-HURT. And they have offices in Texas, New Mexico. By the way, they get our show on the air in Austin, Texas. We thank them, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, for that. That's DaspitLawAustin.com. Daspit Law Firm, passionately pursuing justice for the injured. And John was born in England, John Daspit, and was disappointed that England lost. Watched the game with him Sunday, and John was into it. And this is what I love about the sponsors on this show, whether it's John Christensen, Danish Inspirations, Raul at Kobos. Everybody that is on this show loves and sponsoring this show loves the game. That's the kind of cool thing. That's why we've remained connected for a long, long time. We've got a lot of really loyal sponsors that have really, starting with the Daspit Law Firm, kept this show on the air for so many years. And of course, you have to have a radio station that embraces it too, in ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Gal Media. So appreciate all this. Kobos Nido, you get down there. PNC Stadium, Minute Maid Park. Go there tomorrow for Morocco, France. Kobos is owned by H-Town Proud's Raul Jacobo. It's great open space, clean as a whistle inside. It's going to be a great place to continue to soccer watch in the future. Yes, Rockets, Texans, Astros are there. I think there is a supporters group out there somewhere. This would be the perfect home for you if you talk to Raul. It's a great open space, a lot of tables, a lot of monitors. It's perfect for a supporters group, so I hope somebody jumps on that. Best in Smoke Barbecue, quesadillas, birria quesadillas, smoked pork belly, variety of cocktails, large beer selection. They're always running specials. Get in, watch on the 14 crystal clear monitors. And, of course, we did a live show down there, just like we did at Hugh O'Connor's, and pitched 25 as well. Kobos in Edo, Raul Jacobo. All right. From the striker, he is Victor Ariza. Victor Ariza joins us now. Victor.
Hey, good night, Glenn. Happy to be on.
You putting me to bed already? I thought you said good night. I got to go till 9, I mean, at least.
It is night, right?
Yeah, no. I'm just laughing because of that, because, that's funny. Okay, so...
Spanish English crossing over. It's the buenas noches, but... Yeah.
We're open to all languages on the show, including Spanglish. You've heard my Spanish before, you've laughed a few times at my Spanish, so it's all good. All right, so let's get some initial impressions from you just on today's Argentina and Croatia.
Yeah, Argentina does well to kind of get over those first derby, 20 minutes where Croatia had a lot of possession. Maybe didn't do enough with it. And in the end, maybe controversial, maybe not, depending on what your opinion on it is. But the penalty goes to Argentina. Messi steps up and... I think that's kind of where Argentina took a stranglehold of the game to get that second goal to kind of, you know, give them a little bit more of a breather. And it just kind of, you know, once that second goal goes in, even though it's still, you know, a two-goal game, you get that feeling that Argentina had it in the bag.
Diego Maradona Lopez was just on the show. I don't know if you heard the interview or not prior to you coming on. He played for the Houston Hotshots in the Continental Indoor Soccer League back in the day, but he is the nephew of Diego Maradona, the legendary. And he made it very clear in the interview that Maradona is the greatest ever, no matter what happens with Messi in this World Cup. And it was interesting because, you know, look, Avi, he's a family member. He lived it. He lived 86. It was different. It was Malvinas. It was Falklands. Much different. But then, you know, it's interesting. This was a great reminder to me because I go to break and Andrew goes, well, you know, I'm not connected as much to that time. I'm connected to the Messi of now. How do you feel about that? And that's without even mentioning Pelé, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm a little bit more connected to this era. And obviously, you know, when you start thinking of, you know, how advanced, right? How you know, just athletically, teams are more advanced now, how there's more, you know, when you look back at some of those games, you know, I think, and of course, you know, all the trophies Messi has won, you know, at the club level, what he's done with Argentina, you know, regardless if he didn't have that trophy. And then once he finally got the Copa America just a couple of years back, and, you know, it's the only trophy this guy's missing to, at least on that level, right, on the trophy level, to kind of say, you know, he won it all. I mean, there wouldn't really be anything else in his way. Whereas, you know, Maradona, you know, you kind of maybe, you know, talk about, well, you know, we didn't win a Champions League, right? But, you know, at the World Cup level, I mean, it's something that was amazing. But I think everybody's always going to have their opinions on who it is, especially, you know, I know, obviously, Diego, you know, it's his nephew, so he's always going to be a little bit more protective of the legacy of Maradona. But I don't think, I honestly don't know if it's even going to get settled this weekend, right? Even if Argentina and Messi win it, I think there might still be some people that say, you know, Maradona, because of, you know, carrying the team, what he had to do with those teams, that era. Regardless, I think, you know, it's one of the best players of all time.
Yeah, no question.
Kind of, you know, his time in the game is sort of coming to an end. I think from that perspective, it's just, let's enjoy it. I'd like to see it happen so you can kind of, you know, add that missing piece. But
you know what, Victor, you said something really important a second ago. We're talking to Victor Ariza of the Striker. You said, I don't think it's going to be settled. And it doesn't need to be settled. I think it's really, this is
right,
the fodder that keeps us talking about the game, but it doesn't need to be settled. Why would Leo Messi ever mean more to Diego Lopez Maradona than his uncle? Because he lived it with his uncle. He's a family member. And look, there is a real argument to be made that the Napoli teams and the Argentina teams that Maradona put on his shoulders and carried is a little different maybe than the supporting cast now. But it's also relative, right? You know, you can go back and watch footage then and players might have gotten more space, right, than they do today because of the game's athletic ability and pressing and all that. You would also go back to those days, though, and see that players were not protected. That guy got brutalized, Diego Maradona, right? Not as well protected as Lionel Messi in the modern game with officiating. So there's a lot of relative points that people can make to defend their positions. You can cherry pick them. The question and the bottom line to me is that these are just remarkable football players. These are the greatest. We're watching them. We've had the ability to watch them. We continue to be able to watch them. It was an epic performance today. From Lionel Messi. I want to take you to Mexico because you and I were talking earlier today about Liga MX and the potential of it getting cleaned up a little bit and becoming maybe moving the needle a little bit away from corruption and some of the things that have now come to light since Mexico has been eliminated from this tournament. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, that's a big task, and I don't know if we'll ever see it, right? But I think, you know, you're talking about, obviously, the, you know, the president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, has his morning press conferences, right? And just last week, I think it was on Friday, he had a one a journalist. The nigga's name, Amir Ibrahim, right? And Ibrahim, you know, about 3 years ago, had published a story. He had some audio recordings, right? Some documents that were obviously provided to him by a source or sources. And, you know, there's proof here, right, of the of obviously corruption. You know, things that were sort of already spoken about, but here was hard proof, right? Audio recordings between owners and at that point the president of the league, Jose Maria, you know, transactions inside Liga MX and, you know, obviously also the involvement of government money in certain parts of the country. Again, proof with certain clubs, right? I think Pachuca was mentioned, Pumas, also the Tom has taken the Orlegi groups in the second division with the club down here in Tamaulipas and Tampico. So I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that kind of, you know, came to the surface a couple years ago, and then the investigation, I think, still continues. And then, you know, this report, you know, gets presented by Ibrahim on national television, right, or in the president's, you know, morning press conference. And so for a lot of people, it is new information. For a lot of people that, obviously, soccer fans that follow the league and kind of watch the pundits, right, ESPN, I think of most channels, this is information that was kind of already out there. But it is, you know, for example, I was talking to my dad. My dad watches the morning press conferences. For him, for example, it's a new thing. And he's like, I asked him, like, hey, did you watch the other day? And just kind of, you know, and he's like, yeah, about the soccer and the corruption. And, you know, let's hope. And there's a lot of reaction, too, right? There was another renowned journalist right after the World Cup that came with a sort of monologue about how it's the biggest failure, right, for the Mexican national team. Yeah. So there is a lot of debate now after the World Cup, I think, from more than just the soccer pundits, right? And that's the biggest thing that's come about. Will it all mean a change for the Mexican League and for Mexican soccer, I think? That's the biggest question. That's probably a big doubt for a lot of people because, you know, we've seen these kinds of episodes, right? And not a lot has changed, right? So, but, you know, it's brought to the surface and is being talked about, which, you know, it's probably the important thing.
Yeah, this is, we're talking to Victor Ariza of The Striker. This is what happens in World Cups. If teams crash out, there's a rethink in federations. You remember the Das Reboot with Germany one time. There's people now talking about Germany, and I actually think Germany's positioned well for the future. They've got a lot of young talent, guys like Kimmich, and these guys will be older, but the Germans will also not stand pat. They will do things. It'll be interesting to see what Mexico does. I guess the Tata Martino experiment, with all the excitement in the beginning signing him, does not turn out to be what they wanted. And to think that, you know, the U.S. soccer never interviewed him. We were all wondering why he wasn't interviewed. Greg Berhalter got the job. Some people talked about the fact that his brother was in the federation and all these things. And the bottom line is, this is a very political game. It is now incredibly commercial, far more commercial than an 86 World Cup where Diego Maradona scored against England in that historic World Cup run. It's really, really commercial. I think there is a real danger to losing the sacredness and the uniqueness of the World Cup. And, you know, Andrew and I were talking during the break, and, you know, he brought up a really good point. There's Arsene Wenger out there. You know, there's one way to get all these legends on board with FIFA and the World Cup, and that's pay them to do things. And they're all doing it. And he was even saying,
and the conversations also in Mexico, right, about, you know, why isn't, you know, Hugo Sanchez involved? Why isn't some of the legends of the game involved in more stuff with the league, right? There's always been.
I'm not sure Hugo's the right man for the job, though, because a lot of times Hugo's ego comes before anything. But he certainly has a base of knowledge and institutional knowledge, being who he is.
Yeah, but more so than the suits, right? Guys like Borghetti. Guys
more so than the suits. But you got to remember, a lot of players become the suits, okay? They understand that you can get your palms greased when you get involved in federations and be a part of this thing. So you got two options. You can be the outlier You can speak your truth. You can get beaten down. You'll never be in the country club. And you won't be able to get a shot at making the multi-millions that a lot of these guys make. And sometimes it is disappointing that certain legends of the game are bilking the game for money, but are also not protecting the game. They should be the guardians of the game. They're not protecting the game. They should be the gatekeepers of the sport. And, man, I'll tell you, I'm really worried about the sport overall. As much as this has been an amazing World Cup and there's all this great play right now, and I don't think that's ever going to be lost. But, man, the commercial nature of it, it is beyond belief now. Victor, last thoughts on give a quick thought here. You got 30 seconds. That's all you got for Morocco and France tomorrow.
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's, from what we've seen from Morocco, it's going to be an interesting game. And I think, France, I don't think we'll have it easy. But, ultimately, it's going to be an interesting final one way or another. I think, obviously, maybe most lean towards Argentina, France. But there's a reason they play the games, right? And that's, it's been a great World Cup.
Victor, thank you very much. Follow Victor. He's on Twitter, and also The Striker is where you get all his writings. He covers the Dynamo, but he covers a lot more than that. Victor, great stuff. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, that's Victor Ariza. So, good friend, great young writer. We need young people growing this sport. Got Andrew Carlson nailing it with Arsene Wenger in the break. It's great stuff. I love this. This is Super Heavy, Super Heavy. The great band that includes Damian Marley, Joss Stone, from the Eurythmics. What was the guitarist's name again? Mick Jagger's in it. My gosh, who is that Eurythmics guitar player? Drawing a blank here. We are Super Heavy, though. Daspit Law Firm. Thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for this continuing the special edition Soccer Matters World Cup coverage here. We got Danish Dynamite tonight with Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations. We continue to munch on Little Patagonia empanadas. A big thank you to Sebastian Abraham, Little Patagonia Empanadas. You can also go to their restaurant, Patagonia, which is out on I-10 if you want the best in Argentine meats. That's a fun place to watch Argentina play, either of those, by the way. We'll take a break. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock or Soccer Matters GD. Let's take a break.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, special World Cup 2022 edition. Big thank you to everybody tuning in here tonight and all of our guests. Wanted to remind you about a couple of quick things here. Advantage BMW in Midtown, that's where you go for luxury. You seek out performance. You want to get a BMW. Vehicles are amazing. Down there, you'll experience premier service tailored to you. Excellence at Advantage BMW in Midtown. It isn't just offered, it's expected. Tremendous service center, expert sales team. Justin, you find the perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. You will discover something special down there. We've done some live shows there as well. And they were a lot of fun. Discover your hometown Advantage, San Jacinto and Gray. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. They got the games on. You go in there tomorrow at 1 o'clock, that game will be on. I guarantee you that. It is Advantage BMW in Midtown. And all right. Last segment of the show tonight after this will be Johnny Torres. Grew up playing on the fields of Houston, Texas. He's the head coach of Creighton. They lost in the semifinals of the NCAA College Cup in Cary, North Carolina. To the eventual national champions. You might have seen Syracuse winning the men's national championship last night. UCLA won it on the women's the weekend prior. In comes a good friend, partner on television. He is the one. He is the only. He is Eddie Robinson. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Let's get your thoughts on Argentina-Croatia. Let's get right to it.
What a fun game to watch. When you look at, you know, I was watching the lead up to the game, and one of the things that one of the Fox analysts talked about was well over almost 350 international appearances for the three midfielders for Croatia. But then when you look at what Enzo Martinez did, what some of these guys, you know, you've got McAllister in there, Enzo Fernandez and McAllister, then you've got Julian Alvarez up front. I mean, these are all guys that are 23 or younger that are keeping Paulo Dybala off the field, that are keeping Lautaro Martinez off the field, that are keeping Angel Di Maria off the field, and they're successful, and they're just clicking, and they're growing with every game. They get better and better and better. And I mean, oh, what a fun game to watch. And then Messi just did what Messi does. But the guys that I don't think have gotten enough credit for Argentina are Romero, Otamendi, and the goalkeeper, Eddie Martinez. They've been outstanding this entire tournament, been able to stay on the field. Even with the occasional yellow cards here and there, they've been a very disciplined team.
Eddie Robinson.
You know, you had Tagliafico and DePaul on the wings. I mean, it's just been fun to watch.
Yeah, and it looks like they're kind of timing it right. We were talking earlier in the show just about the journey and how it's interesting to look back at what teams did in group stages. Lionel Messi came out, Eddie, and said that, you know, it was a real kind of wake-up call against Saudi Arabia. They didn't expect to lose to them. That actually has been a good thing for them. But to think that Argentina was one game away from being eliminated by Mexico, and Mexico was pretty tame in that game against them, it's pretty amazing to think now that they sit probably, you know, really on an ascent here after scoring three goals against Croatia.
Well, let's take nothing away from that Mexican team. They were very good. They were just put into a difficult group and a difficult situation. And this Argentina team, their mentality throughout the tournament, that first game, I think, was a bit of a fluke. They didn't expect Saudi Arabia to put up the fight that they did. I probably wouldn't have either, especially after, you know, coming off of winning Copa America and everybody talking about them in the media and the press. They thought they'd just cruise through that game, and they have a couple tough ones to finish off the group stage. But their mentality throughout all of this has been really, really good. And to not give up a goal, and Emiliano Martinez just didn't have a lot to do today. And when you look at the midfield, you've got Perisic, and you've got Kramaric, and you've got Pasalic, you've got Luka Modric, Brozovic, Mateo Kovacic. And this is a who's who of international superstars. Couldn't really challenge them. This Argentina team is coming together, not just offensively with the three goals, but defensively as well. They're very confident. They're very solid. And they're patient. They're not losing their temper. They're not losing their control, which sometimes we see South American teams do. And that's why they're going to be dangerous to whoever wins this game tomorrow between Morocco and France.
Talking to Eddie Robinson, they did get on the edge a little bit against the Netherlands. That game 2-2 went to penalty kicks. I thought Croatia, I looked at them about 25 minutes in, and I did not see the same team as in prior rounds. Obviously, they played an extra 60 minutes, well, an extra 30 in total because Argentina played an extra 30, but they did play an extra 60 on older legs. I just thought they weren't getting closer to the ball, one, because of how good Argentina is, and two, because I think they may have hit the wall a little bit fatigued. And that after playing a freaking masterful performance against Brazil.
And the thing that stood out to me, especially towards the end of the game, is the way that Argentina played through the midfield. There's the one-touch passing that was able to pick Croatia apart and get into that attack so quickly. Nobody does that to Croatia. Nobody's done that, really, this whole tournament. And for me, it just goes to show where Argentina is at the current moment. I'd be scared to death, even if I'm France, and somehow manage to beat this resilient Morocco team. I'm a bit nervous going into this game against Argentina because they're just firing on all cylinders. They're good in the wide area. They're good defensively. They're good going into attack. They're great at counterattack. How about the second goal? We have Martinez today going three quarters of the length of the field and scoring. The second goal for Argentina today was just outstanding. So I'm really excited to see what comes of this final, because whoever wins tomorrow, it doesn't matter whether it's Morocco and their gritty, their fight, their unsung performance from guys that a lot of people have never heard of, who, you know, we'll probably see in Europe, because that's the one thing the World Cup does, is send players on to Europe. I mean, you said, and Estuary, the center forward for Morocco, Buffal. I mean, we know about Hakim Ziyech, but this is just a group of Moroccans that are scary dangerous. But then when you look at the French side and their ability to attack, like, my goodness, it's just we're all in for a treat when it comes to the final. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bono in goal has been excellent for Morocco. If you look at their squad, they have guys that are playing in French League One and La Liga and the Bundesliga and the Premier League. So, you know, people may not recognize these names as much because they're Moroccan players. I've loved the way Amrabat has played in midfield for them. Big miss could be the number six center back, Sass, who went off injured. So that's one to keep an eye on against France. But we mentioned earlier in the show, Eddie, that you know, England and Kyle Walker, specifically, we talked about him because he was in the same area of the field. But England did quite a good job on Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, well, that's going to fall to Mbappe's teammate this time around, isn't it? At PSG, Ashraf Hakimi. And Mbappe has said, you know, how much respect he has for Hakimi already, but that he's going to have to take him to the cleaners, basically. And it's going to be interesting to see because of how young Mbappe is. And he's already gotten, what, 9 goals in World Cup play. And this is a guy that we can expect certainly to probably get near doubling that over the course of his career over the next 2 World Cups. I'd be shocked, you know, God forbid any kind of injury or anything like that. So he'll be a part of that French national team for years and years to come. So this is a player that's going to be fun to watch, and that's a matchup that's going to be really important because we've seen what Olivier Giroud can do when he gets service in the box, when he gets on the end of it. And I can't remember who said it a couple of years ago, that big meaty French forehead is always around the ball when there's good service going into the box. So that's where Mbappe comes in, and we'll see who plays on that other side. Kingsley Coman has been playing a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see who France decides to play there, but that's a full team. That's a team, France, that has depth similar to Brazil, that can put anybody on the field. And, you know, Tchouaméni, he's made a name for himself in this tournament. It's a really, really strong team. And I caught, you know, your interview earlier with Jan Christensen, and he said, you know, my heart wants Morocco to win, and I agree. I always root for chaos. I always root for the underdog, but my mind and, you know, knowledge of the game tells me that it's going to be France. And my goodness, are we all in for a treat, a once-in-a-lifetime treat, if we get to see this Argentinian team play against this French team in the final. Man.
Dembele probably on the opposite side of the field as Mbappe. You know, just another note on Morocco real quick for people listening in. They've got players. Amrabat plays for Fiorentina. Angers is where Buffal plays in France. Nejri plays at Sevilla. Zajac plays for Chelsea. Hakimi at PSG, as Eddie mentioned. Seis at Wolves. Seis, by the way, that's a big one with Olivier Giroud. If he's not able to go, whoever replaces him. But they will run till there's no tomorrow. This should be good. Eddie, last one on France. You know, it's pretty hard to believe that a team could absorb the loss of Paul Pogba, N'Golo Kanté, and Karim Benzema and still be one game away from a World Cup final.
Well, again, when you look at just the depth of this French national team, I mean, it's very difficult to argue against them because they, too, have a lot of young players that people have maybe aren't household names quite yet, but will be very soon. And it's, I'm super excited. When you look at, you know, like I said, Tchouaméni in the midfield, Adrien Rabiot, as he's always been very consistent. I don't know that he's ever gotten the praise that he deserves. Antoine Griezmann, Olivier Giroud, golly, he's just surpassed Thierry Henry for goals scored for the French national.
Yeah, all-time leader. Right. Eddie, we're up on a hard break. We got to roll because Andrew's rolling me music here. By the way, Griezmann, to Eddie's point, has been exceptional. Eddie, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We'll talk tomorrow, okay?
All right, brother. I can't wait.
All right. He's Eddie Robinson. Good stuff there from Eddie. He's all over the World Cup. So it's BT Express. Do it till you're satisfied. He's satisfied. All right, we're going to come back. It's Johnny Torres, Creighton head coach, grew up playing soccer here in Houston, from Dickinson, Texas, Pasadena area, played youth soccer here in Houston, went on to play 10 years professionally, then on to coaching in the collegiate game, all at Creighton. Player, assistant coach, now the head coach, got him to the NCAA College Cup Final Four. This is Soccer Matters Special Edition World Cup, brought to you by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight. We are grateful to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for providing this additional special edition FIFA World Cup coverage and for being the presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. John and his firm, the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys, they will handle your case. Now, you might get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. Look, nobody wants to get in an accident. But there are times when you need representation. If you need the best, you need the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, maybe you work in a refinery or drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm will handle your case. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. It's 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. 713-322-HURT, bilingual. Offices across Texas, New Mexico, Austin. The Daspit Law Firm will passionately pursue justice for the injured. And John is a big soccer fan. We watched the quarterfinals between England and France together. All right, our final interview of the night. This is the perfect segue from the Daspit Law Firm, because the Daspit Law Firm obviously is local. So are a lot of the great Houston soccer stories. Here's one right now. Johnny Torres from Dickinson, Texas, Pasadena area as well. Now the head coach of Creighton University. Grew up playing the game here in Houston and is another one of our great Houston players that have gone on to bigger things. Johnny, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Glenn. It's great to continue to see you in the avenues of soccer these many years afterwards. And it's exciting to be here. So thank you for having me.
Well, you represent a lot of what Texas soccer is about. You also represent the Houston area in soccer. You're certainly very well known in all of these circles. It's an important story to tell. But first of all, just congratulations on you and your program, Creighton, getting to the NCAA College Cup.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, we've always been lucky to have tremendous support from both our city, our institution, and our program. And so it's great when we can give back in such a way to make it a successful season. And this year culminated for us getting back to the College Cup, which is always a lot of fun.
You were in a great semifinal with Syracuse. Ultimately, Syracuse won 3-2. As everybody knows, yesterday, Syracuse won the national championship in penalties over Indiana. Just give us a little insight into the College Cup experience and maybe into that Syracuse game, because it just seemed like you guys kept battling back.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, first and foremost. We knew that regardless of who we were going to face in the College Cup, it would be a challenge, an uphill battle. And I thought it was a very exciting collegiate game, maybe a little different from other college games in that it was wide open. Both teams wanted to play. Both teams sent numbers forward and were eager to get on the attack. And I just thought it was an exciting game. And unfortunately for the Blue Jays, we had a couple of balls bounce the opposite way. And fortunately for Syracuse, they were able to be victorious on the night.
This is a program that's been built over many years. Obviously, it's a nationally recognized program. We know that. Yeah, you've really been, you know, what I love about your story is the dedication to the university. I mean, player, assistant coach, head coach. There's something about Omaha. There's something about Creighton that really connects. Take us into that.
You know, I think it started back when I was a student athlete at Creighton as a freshman in 1994. The impression that those coaches at the time, and Bob Warming and Brett Simon, the impression that they made on me, because up until this point, my only desire was to be a professional soccer player. Luckily, my adoptive parents, Marcella and Carlos Clark, instilled in me the value of education. And so my plans changed a little bit when I realized that I could do both. I could study, get my degree, and still go on to do my dream, which was to be a professional soccer player. And so the impression that, first and foremost, the coaches had in me while I was in college, the impression that the institution, my professors, campus life, the community had on me, I always knew that I always wanted to come back to Omaha if possible, if given the opportunity, and be able to be a coach and do what those coaches did for me back in the 90s for the guys that are coming through the program now.
Phenomenal connection. It's a phenomenal story. It is a story of giving back. Carlos Clark, who, of course, I knew in his days, you know, your stepfather, I mean, he obviously instilled some wonderful lessons in life for you to combine with all your college coaches and professional coaches.
Absolutely. No, my adoptive father, Carlos, and my adoptive mother, Marcella, they instilled a lot of values and core values at that shaped me into the person I've become today. And, you know, I love my biological parents dearly, but I am very appreciative to the values and characteristics that my adoptive parents instilled in me into becoming the men I've become today.
All right. I have a good one here, because before we got on the air, I said to you, all right, I remember one of the youth clubs you played for, but you got to tell me about the other one. So the Deer Park Lightning, Surge 76, somebody's going to be out there who's going to remember these teams. They're certainly going to remember Johnny Torres. But yeah, just talk about your youth upbringing in the Houston area.
Yeah, you know, I migrated with my biological family in 1981. We lived in Pasadena. And at the time, we didn't speak English. We were desperately looking for a team to allow me to play some soccer. And my father met a gentleman. I just remember his nickname was Cowboy. I think Cowboy. His last name was Dallas, I think was the gentleman's last name. But he was the coach.
Cowboy Lara.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
Because Cowboy Lara's two sons.
That's right.
Joe and Mike played in the youth club I had, the Hurricanes. That's and I was right. involved in, yes.
Donny Gonzalez was a teammate of mine on that team. And he also played with us on Surge 76. But it was Lara. You're absolutely correct. So he's the one that found me as a five-year-old, freshly into this country. And that's how I signed up to play for the Deer Park Lightning while I lived in Pasadena. That's amazing.
That is amazing. But, you know,
here's the thing. You know, everybody always goes to the last youth club that talented players like you played on. They get all the credit. But, you know, a man like Cowboy Lara got you involved in soccer, got you on a team. He deserves as much credit as anybody, okay, for the Johnny Torres story. I mean,
that's
it's amazing. It really is amazing. It's so nice to shine the light on that. Just taking you back to Creighton and the program and you being a head coach now, how different has it become over, you know, your eye test, your institutional knowledge over the years of coaching in the college game? Has it changed a lot? Has technology changed it? Has the player changed? Take us into that.
No, absolutely. I think like anything nowadays, there's been changes all across the board, whether that's at our institution, whether that's in the landscape of collegiate soccer. There's been a lot of changes. But the one thing that's been constant, at least at our institution, is that there's always been an overwhelming support from our community, our university, and for our program. And that's one of the things that brought me back to Creighton University as an assistant coach. Because for me, it's always been important that there's that support there, right? I understand there's other sports in this country that generate a lot of revenue for these universities, and I get that. But we are a valid sport in this country now, and it's vital. It's important that we continue to get support from all the resources financially in regards to scholarships to be able to continue to push our sport to the forefront.
Johnny, just give us the website of Creighton, because if you go to the Creighton website, I'm just going to tell any aspiring youth players, and you look at their stadium, I never saw anything like that in college when I was in college. I mean, it is just an absolutely beautiful, very authentic, traditional style of a setup for football / soccer in college.
For sure. No, we're extremely fortunate to have this jewel in Morrison Stadium at Omaha, in Omaha, Nebraska. And our website is gocreighton.com is our athletic Creighton website. But like you said, this Morrison Stadium is a jewel. It's one of the best venues in the entire country to watch a collegiate match. In fact, I couldn't tell you how many foreign student athletes that have played or come through Creighton will tell me that in their native countries, there's not many professional stadiums that would hold the candle to this stadium. So we're very fortunate to be able to have a place like Morrison Stadium. And anytime we can play here in front of our fans and our community, it's a special place to play a soccer match.
Other thing that's changed, and we're talking to Johnny Torres, who's a head coach at Creighton, grew up in Texas near the Houston area, playing his youth soccer, obviously went on to great things in the college game professionally. And now in his fourth year as the head coach of the Creighton Blue Jays, after being an assistant for 10 years. This year, they were 13-5-6, semifinals of the national championship, 3-2 loss to Syracuse, who ultimately won it over Indiana in penalty kicks. The makeup of your recruits and things, you know, how does that work for you now? Do you go to specific areas? What does recruiting look like to you?
You know, fortunately, we are fortunate. We're lucky that we have the resources given to us in regards to recruiting, so we can go anywhere. There are many programs that have to limit where they go recruit because of their budget. So we're fortunate enough that we could go anywhere. And to be quite honest with you, with technology nowadays, there's a lot of ability to be able to overextend your reach in regards to recruiting. One of the most beautiful things about our sport is that it is global. And so I will turn over every rock to find a good soccer player. And really, I love and enjoy the part of bringing a bunch of human beings from different backgrounds and different walks of life and bring them together for one common goal, and that's through our sport. And so I've been fortunate enough to be able to bring guys from other countries. And this current roster that we had, something like 18 different states represented in the United States, and 11 different countries represented. And so to me, that's a beautiful thing when you're able to bring that many guys from different cultures and walks of life and come together for one common goal.
All right, you were a highly technical player when you played the game, and you know, at all levels, Major League Soccer, that was very obvious. I'm assuming that is the way you like to play at Creighton, and a lot of the players you're recruiting now have to be pretty technically proficient, right? And so my question is, how much can you change a player by the time you get him into college?
You know, it definitely helps if they arrive as freshmen and they're highly technical, good IQ. But I wouldn't necessarily say you can change a player dramatically. I think it's vital that those players are getting some of their best knowledge between 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, so they have a good foundation in order to be able to continue to develop. I think it's a little bit harder if they get here at 18 years of age and you're now having to break bad habits to help them be more efficient in the way that they want to play. But you are right. We like to play possession style. We like to play high attacking repetitions. And so in order to be able to do that proficiently, you have to be quite technical. And so that's definitely one of the things that I like to look for when I'm recruiting is being able to bring players in that are technical, although we have had our share of guys that come in that are maybe at the time more athletic than technical, but I also enjoy that aspect of it and trying to get to down with players to help them in their technical ability as we progress through the years and ranks of college soccer.
He's Johnny Torres, head coach of Creighton, got to the NCAA College Cup this year. Outstanding to navigate that tournament. Always difficult to get there. For you who played in Major League Soccer for 10 years, I think, has it changed? And what does it look like differently to you now?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's changed. I think it's changed for the better. I definitely see the MLS as a league that can compete worldwide now, you know, whereas before, you know, we were trying to develop and grow the sport in our country. I think it's a league now that could sustain itself and stand on its own. And, you know, when you even look at the players that were at the World Cup with the USA team, there's a lot of MLS players with MLS experience that were able to excel and do well on the world stage. And so I think soccer in the United States is in a good place, and I'm really looking forward to what we can build on towards World Cup 26.
You're coaching now. At what point do you forget the actual playing of the game, like as a professional, right? Because you're Coach Johnny Torres now. You're not New England Revolution's Johnny Torres, although you will be historically. You know, you're now a coach. Does it take time to get over the playing aspect and really push that to the side so that you can blossom as a coach?
I think so. I think it takes time. It's funny you say that because whether I like it or not, it seems like every year I jump in with the guys less and less.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, you know, it's like these days it seems the only time I jump in is when there's a crossbar challenge or a free kick challenge or
right.
Juggling, but not much more than that. I think it takes time. I definitely do. And, you know, and I've learned too that just because you play doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a good coach. And I've learned more and more through the years that the better I foster and spend time on relationships with our guys, the easier coaching gets for me.
Johnny, I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight. Congratulations with all the success with Creighton. Obviously, you're a known entity here in Texas. It's important to do interviews with guys like you who have, you know, left a legacy in the state of Texas and in the areas you grew up in this case, Dickinson and the Houston area. But also the state of Texas. So thank you so much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, Glenn. And it's great to see that you're still in it after all these years and representing for us.
Speaking of somebody who doesn't want to jump in too much. Perfect. Johnny, thank you so much again.
Take care, Glenn.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big thank you to all the guests on the show tonight. Also to Andrew Carlson, our producer. Big thank you, Advantage BMW Midtown, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, LamontBrands.com, Little Patagonia Empanadas. We thank them very, very much. And, of course, Kobo's in Edo. So a big thanks to all of them. And also to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they will handle your case 24-7, nights and weekends. They will work for you, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, offices across Texas, New Mexico, and Austin. The Daspit Law Firm, passionately pursuing justice for the injured. All right, until next week, remember, I'm Glenn Davis, and remember, soccer matters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.